Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to Pop Off, the show where we take your favorite movies, music, and TV, and we rank them. I'm your host, Ethan Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in. Check out more Ithacan podcasts wherever you're listening to this, or go to theithacan.org. Fans, my beloved Pop Off fans, I'd like to think I'm a man of my word, which is why we are here today, 7 weeks later, to follow up on a promise. Today, I will be giving you my top five episodes of the very, very good, very quality Breaking Bad prequel series, Better Call Saul. But it's not just my list. We've got today's guest, Beth Taylor. Beth, welcome back.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I really like the show.
You do really like the show. And you like it more than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, which is a crazy opinion to have in today's day and age. And Redditors will tell me I'm wrong.
It's not nuts. I've seen it around.
I think it's more of the underdog pick.
Okay. Why do you like it more than Breaking Bad? Because Breaking Bad is like, it's Breaking Bad.
It's the Breaking
Bad. It's the show.
A lot of the failings of earlier episodes of Breaking Bad, some of the writing, some of the issues that were, the quality that was lacking a bit in the earlier seasons, is definitely not there in Better Call Saul. I think purely because the cast and crew went into Better Call Saul knowing exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely went into Better Call Saul with a lot more confidence and with a lot more technical know-how.
Yeah.
So in Better Call Saul, you get a lot of... the cinematography in Breaking Bad is incredible.
Yeah.
But in Better Call Saul, they really knock it out of the park. And the characters are all incredible. I like it.
Really? You like it?
I consider myself a fan. I nearly popped a freaking blood vessel at the Emmys when Bob Odenkirk didn't win and Ray didn't win.
The fact that this got nothing, ever.
Better Call Saul...
How many nominations?
I believe... Hold on, let me
it's
look
like
this
50
up.
It's like 50-something?
They have the most nominations with zero wins, I believe. 53 Emmy nominations and no wins. Are you serious? I have to calm down. Sorry.
No, you
so
don't.
Sorry.
I'm derailing the podcast. Get angry.
Okay, literally, no. It absolutely makes... This is...
What?
Which...
Nuts. It's not great.
No, not at all.
It's not great. You have watched this six times?
Six times, yes.
Nuts. I've only watched it once. I watched it this past summer over, like, the course of a month. And I had a week and a half long break between seasons three and four. So it was essentially just 3 weeks, which is what I did for Breaking Bad. And yeah, I love it. I don't love it as much as Breaking Bad, but it's very much its own thing. It is the best prequel of anything I have ever seen, easily.
Retweet.
Like you said, cinematography, I think, is even better. Like, there's a lot of really cool visual storytelling they do. The editing is insane. All the montages.
Guys. Chat. The montages?
Oh, my God.
Don't get me started.
And yeah, like, they already knew coming into this how to make a good TV show. And so there's much less of it finding its footing than Breaking Bad. The way that they build on old characters, the way they build up new characters, it's very good. It's insane. I love it. The Los Pollos Hermanos shirt is back. I love everything that these people do. And that is why it was so hard to rank. This might be the hardest episode just in terms of making the list that I've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of my specific rankings are very interchangeable. I know that my top four are definitively my top four, and I know that my top five plus the honorable mentions are my definitive top nine, but as far as the order goes, I don't know.
I think it's because the show just has a very strong baseline of good.
Yeah.
If you go on, like, IMDb, their lowest rated episode is an 8.0.
Yeah.
Just very solid, good episodes throughout. There's not really, like, a stinker.
There's not.
There's no fly in this.
How dare you?
Hey, you know,
I know you like it, but yeah. And of course, spoiler warning to all those who care and have not seen this. I know my grandparents who are listening to this, maybe, hopefully not, are currently on season two. Stop listening.
Stop listening. Go watch the show.
Just watch the show. Let's get into honorable mentions. Let's have you go first.
Okay. My first honorable mention, season two, episode seven, Inflatable. It's a great classic episode full of Jimmy shenanigans, which you love. This is the one where Jimmy, after getting a very nice job at a law firm, does everything in his power to get himself fired. You know, he can't let himself have nice things. It features the iconic the iconic shot of him walking into the office in his purple suit.
Yes.
Which has been used many a times in memes, as the kids call them. I don't know, I think it's a really solid, fun, enjoyable episode where we get to see Jimmy do some stupid stuff, and we get to see the people around him try to calm him down or try to get him to react.
I think the combo of the opening where it's like him as a kid,
yeah,
just fully setting up like his outlook on the world and like how you have to be.
Oh, I thought it was genius. The wolves and sheep.
That. And then the montage of him like just trying to get fired.
It's great. He's so many funny good bits in that show.
Yeah.
Next, season 3, episode 1, Mabel.
Hey, yo, editor's note here. So basically, Beth meant to say season 3, episode 9, fall, not season 3, episode 1, Mabel. So the stuff that she's talking about here actually applies to that episode instead of the one that she said. Yeah, editor's note over.
When I tell you this episode broke my heart. I felt so bad for Mabel. This is, Jamie is currently running a scheme. Mabel has a lot of sway in whether or not the Sandpiper case will go the way that Jamie would like it to go. And so in order to get Mabel to do what he wants, he psychologically messes with her and ruins her social life forever. Only at the very end after seeing how badly Mabel's life is messed up, he stages like a big moment where he's revealed to be like the liar behind it so Mabel gets all her friends back. I thought it was really good. The whole setup to the big like ending, it just really goes to show how good Jimmy is at what he does, which is terrifying. Despite it maybe being a little cliche, they did have Jimmy back down at the end, and he staged it so that he would turn himself into the villain. I thought that made a lot of sense for Jimmy's character.
But it is still like, it's one of the worst things I think he's
done. Horrible thing. I cannot believe, that is one of the worst things he's ever done in this show.
Yeah.
Up next, season 6, episode 2, Carrot and Stick. I mean, come on. I love Kim Wexler. There's a really great Kim Wexler moment when they're talking to
The Kettlemans?
The Kettlemans.
Yes.
Talking to the Kettlemans, and she...
Really fun bringing them back, too.
Yeah. Oh, it was so smart, too. Jimmy gives them the carrot, and Kim gives them the stick. I love how the show doesn't necessarily fall into the trap of automatically making the women very inherently good characters.
Yeah.
I want to see more Kim Wexlers out there.
Make women evil.
Yes.
I loved watching Kim use her connections because, you know, everyone loves her in the law world. I loved watching the Kettlemans flounder. And I loved the callback to the very first episode of the show ever. Final honorable mention. This might surprise you.
Oh.
Season 6, episode 3, Rock and Hard Place. I love Nacho so much as a character. I think Michael Mendo, his actor, did an incredible job. Genuinely such a lovable character. Really one of the only like characters I would be willing to call good in this show.
Yeah.
And the whole episode is just quite sad as you watch him. He accepts his fate. He knows what's going to happen to him. He calls his dad. He does exactly what Gus wants him to do. And we also get a really great moment from Mike, where Mike sneaks away and he sets up his sniper rifle, purely intending to see Nacho get out of it alive. But Nacho doesn't, and it's quite sad. And not, oh my god, the performance, by the way?
Yeah, and that scene?
Is so good. Oh my gosh, it's so good. I genuinely can't believe he didn't get like any sort of pats on
there's
the back.
There's too many great actors in the show for everyone to be recognized.
Oh my god, it was incredible. I especially loved watching Hector Salamanca be the horrible person he is and shoot him like 3 times after he'd already died.
And he needs help from the cousins too.
Yeah, it's really pathetic and it's really gross.
Yeah.
Genuinely loved that. I love Nacho-centric episodes, so I really loved that episode a lot.
I'm going to get into my 4.
Here we go.
And I'm going to do my thing once again where I'm like exclusively picking episodes from like the back half of the show.
Because
I just think they're better. I don't know.
I can't.
It's after the plot has ramped up and like I'm fully in. I don't know. Because Better Call Saul is a slow burn.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
That makes it very different from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. My first honorable mention is season 5, episode 8, Bagman.
That's your honorable mention?
I know, and it hurt to put here. It hurt so much.
Front door.
I'm sure it's on your top 5. We'll get there again. Don't look at me like that. I want to talk about why I like it. Can I talk about why I like
it? To the audio listeners, Ethan is turning beet red in shame.
I really am.
Okay, go on.
Okay. iconic episode. I love it dearly. But this is essentially Better Call Saul's version of a Breaking Bad episode. And I'm assuming one of the reasons that you really like it, it's very reminiscent of 4 Days Out.
Absolutely.
Where Jimmy goes into the desert to pick up Lalo's bail money. And I am stunned just how suspenseful the sequence is when the gunmen show up, because you know he makes it out okay. You know Mike makes it out okay. But, like, I was, like, my heart was beating so fast just seeing how they get out of it. Mike obviously kills the gunman. They leave in Jimmy's car, and then it breaks down, and they're left to hitchhike. And it's just very reminiscent of 4 Days Out, of, like, two of really the core characters of the show stranded in the desert, and just what happens as they try and make it out. The amazing scene of them at night where Mike tells Jimmy that Kim is now kind of in the game.
Oh, my God.
Is so good. Just the dialogue there. Kim talking to Lalo is amazing.
Let's go.
Jimmy drinking his own piss, highlight of the entire series. And then the sequence right at the end of Mike killing the surviving gunman as, like, Jimmy's kind of out walking as a diversion is just also really tense. I love this episode, and I'm excited for you to talk about it, I'm assuming, when we get there. Directly after that, we have season 5, episode 9, Bad Choice Road. Am I just taking everything off your top 5? I'm very worried.
No, but this is one of the episodes I struggled whether or not I should place it on you or not, because it's a great episode.
Yeah, I love this episode too. Directly following Bagman, Jimmy and Mike return from the desert. Lalo is bailed out with the money, and Mike sits him down and is like, here's kind of the story that you're going to tell. And that's what he tells Lalo at first, and it's also what he tells Kim. And, like, she clearly doesn't believe him, and when she sees, like, the bullet hole in the coffee mug, it just sets up a really nice conflict. Kim quits Schweikert and Coakley. Amazing scene. You don't even hear her do it. You just see it off of, like, Rich's face, what she's doing. There's the Jimmy and Mike talk, where Mike talks about how, like, there are consequences for the choices you make. One of my favorite Mike scenes probably of the entire show. Nacho driving Lalo around when they find Jimmy's car. Lalo, like, jumps down onto the car.
Love Lalo.
Lalo and his, like, gymnastics stuff. I love him. He's so entertaining.
There's one big part of the episode you haven't talked about yet.
That is correct. And that is the whole ending sequence where Lalo comes by the apartment to interrogate Jimmy, asking him to, like, continue repeating the story of what happened in the desert, and he changes it every time.
Say it again.
And then Kim comes in and sticks up for him, which is so tense, because the whole time, that's the thing, is, like, we know Jimmy makes it out alive. We know Mike makes it out alive. We don't know what happens to Kim. And so anytime her and Lalo are in the same room, it's so tense, because, like, he could just kill her at any moment.
Kim and Wendy are the same person.
Yeah. And, like, Mike watching outside from the sniper rifle. It's just awesome. It's so good. So much good tension. Next, I have one that you did get to, which is season 6, episode 3, Rockin' Hard Place.
Woo!
Nacho's swan song, and is maybe, because there are a couple episodes in Breaking Bad that do this. We have, like, Face Off for Gus, Felina for Walt. Just an episode that is entirely dedicated to just the end of a character.
I completely forgot to mention this. Yeah. One of the big reasons why it's my honorable mention, mm-hmm, is because of the intro.
Okay.
So the intro,
it makes it so much better.
It's just a flower sprouting out of the ground in the desert. Essentially what it's referring back to is, I believe, Aztec or Mayan indigenous people's belief that when a warrior is slain, flowers will sprout from where he's died.
That's awesome.
And it's exact spot where Nacho died. And yeah. I thought that was awesome sauce.
Yeah. The whole episode, really, you're just kind of following Nacho for most of it. There's that really tense scene of him in the oil tanker hiding from the cousins, where he's, like, completely drenched, so dark and, like, claustrophobic. Eventually he gets out, calls his father, and basically has to say goodbye to him. And it's so emotional.
So sad.
He offers his surrender to Gus and realizes, like, he's gonna have to die. B-plot, you have Jimmy and Kim working with Huel to get Howard's car key for the scheme. So much fun.
Love it.
But then that final, like, 5-ish minutes in the desert where Juan Bolsa kind of sits Nacho down and is like, hey, there are good deaths and bad deaths. Let yours be a good one. And he confesses to helping kill Lalo and admits that he tried to kill Hector and put him in the chair. And it is one of the most satisfying moments of the entire series.
It's
Michael
so
Mando's
good.
Performance is so, just the rage pulsating throughout him. I love it.
I like how even though it is his death, Nacho still wins.
He goes out on his own terms.
It's really great.
Yeah. Just such a great end to one of easily one of the best characters.
Another
of this
detail
whole show.
I forgot that I really enjoy is after Nacho gets the gun and he has, is it Juan Bolsa?
Yeah.
He has the gun to Juan Bolsa's head. We get a quick cut to Mike, who's whispering, "Do it." It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love Mike.
And then my final honorable mention, which really, really hurt to cut. This was the one last night as I was making my list. I agonized over putting this my honorable mentions, and I had to. There was just not room in the top five. Is it season 6, episode 9, Fun and Games?
Oh, yeah.
Which I love. This might be one of my favorite montages of the whole series, is the opening montage of Jimmy and Kim trying to get back to normal after the events of Point and Shoot.
It's heartbreaking.
Intercut with, like, all of the cleanup from it.
Oh, my gosh.
The great sequence where Gus meets with the cartel and then goes to the wine bar. And it's a really fun it's a really fun last episode for Gus and just how he's handling everything. And really, like, set it, because in that cartel scene, they kind of divide up the territory between him and the Salamancas, and that's how it winds up like that in Breaking Bad. Unpopular opinion, maybe my favorite scene of the episode is when Mike meets with Nacho's father.
Oh,
and tells him, like,
gosh.
He died a good death. He was a good man. He was never like the criminals he worked with. There will be, like, justice. And Nacho's father just turns the tables and is like, "What you speak of is not justice. And you are just, like, you're no different from any of them."
So good.
And I think it's made so much better by, like, the relationship that Mike and Nacho had, where, like, he saw him as almost a surrogate son. And so being kind of put in his place by Nacho's actual father is just really cathartic. Obviously, Jimmy and Kim and all of their stuff, where they attend Howard's memorial at HHM,
literally
figure
Kim,
out what's going down
Kim
there.
Kim chills me to the bone in that little scene.
Yeah.
Chills me to the bone. She's just as bad as Jimmy. That's
and then
awesome.
And then there's the breakup where Kim tells Jimmy that they are, and it's true, are bad for each other.
The first and only time they ever say "I love you."
Yeah, it's during the breakup.
My God.
And she leaves, and it ends with Jimmy fully transformed into Saul after this whole series. This acts as a sort of a series finale,
I think,
in a lot of ways. Because it really does wrap up all of the main Better Call Saul plot lines, and then those last four black and white episodes are tying up everything. Yeah, this one hurt to cut. All right, do you want to get into your number five?
Okay. Now, this is an episode that is one of the highest rated in the entire show. If I could, I would place it higher. This is season 1, episode 6, 5-0.
Nice.
This is the
episode. I'm so happy you have this here.
Oh, yeah. This is the episode that turned my mom into a mic head. It turned me into a mic head, and it made me, it made me love the character of Mike even more. It made me fall in love with the show almost completely. This is the episode that I think was really the biggest turning point in what made me realize, oh, wow, this show is going to be maybe even better than Breaking Bad. We get a whole, not prequel, but we get to learn Mike's backstory.
Yeah.
Which is, it adds so much depth to his character. Jonathan Banks, his performance is incredible.
I broke my boy. Oh, my God.
It's so sad. I loved seeing it. I loved how they set up his relationship with Kaylee. Genuinely one of the best episodes of television I might have ever watched.
Yeah.
I cried like a baby.
Me too.
My mom, stone-faced, but still, I cried like a baby.
I love this episode so much. I would agree. This is really,
so good.
This is the one that fully got me into the show. Because the second episode when they're like out in the desert with Tuco is really fun. And that's maybe what hooked me. But it's, I think, very misleading as to what the show really is. Whereas 5-0, it's just more blunt characterization.
Probably why I love it so much, considering one of my favorite episodes is Fly.
Yeah, I love Mike, totally one of my favorite characters, and so getting all of his backstory is just so cool. Seeing really his motivation for everything he does throughout the entirety of this and Breaking Bad, and just how much guilt he feels over the death of his son.
God, if there was any episode I would beg people to watch in the first season, it would be this one.
My number five, season 6, episode 8, Point and Shoot. I was going back and forth for literally 30 minutes last night whether to put this or Fun and Games at my number five. And just because I am a big fan of, like, just action-packed episodes, when they hit, they hit. You have Lalo telling Jimmy to drive to Gus's home and kill him. And then, hugely underrated Jimmy moment is when he negotiates for Kim to go instead. Because he just, like, he doesn't think she's going to be safe if she stays with him.
It's, oh my God, it's so, yeah. tragic, Kim, but he Kim, loves her so much.
Kim in the car driving there and just like the police car right by her and she can't do anything.
Maria Seahorn's performance is so good. I think this episode really goes to show just how Jimmy loves Kim. The yeah. way that he shows it, yeah. it's just heartbreaking.
You've got Mike storming into action, which is so fun to see.
Let's go, Mike.
Yeah, Lalo's plan to like record video evidence of the meth lab is so much fun. And maybe it's so funny. Maybe my favorite use of an episode title when he's like, yeah. "There's a gun and a camera, and you're gonna need both." You take the gun, very simple, point and shoot, and then you take the camera and do the same thing. And the writing is so tight. Yeah, Lalo killing all of Gus's men in the dark. And, like, that one instrumental note that plays when he, like, comes out of the shadows smiling, having killed all of them, is so chilling.
Oh, my gosh. Lalo is such a good
And, again,
character.
Like, you know Gus makes it out okay, but it's just so fun to see how. And the way that he planted there's a whole 5-6 minute sequence episodes earlier of Gus just going down into the meth lab and planting the gun. And it is made so much better knowing how that comes back. It's so cool. And then after everything is said and done, Mike telling Jimmy and Kim that they have to pretty much keep up the ruse that got Howard killed to maintain a story, and how heartbreaking it is for them. And then the final scene of Howard and Lalo being buried together under
That's
the lab
horrible.
Is a haunting image.
Just so you can't watch Breaking Bad the same.
Not at all.
Whenever you go back and watch it, you're like, oh man.
There are two people under there.
Two people under there.
Yeah.
One of them deserves it, the other one does not.
Poor Howard.
Poor Howard.
Bless his heart. We'll get to more of that in a bit.
Oh?
Yeah. What's your number four?
My number four is an episode that was already mentioned in your honorable mentions.
Ayo.
Season 5, Episode 8, Bagman.
Nice.
I am a sucker for character driven stories. I am a sucker for any situation where two characters are forced into an uncomfortable situation and we learn more about each of them as a result. I'm a sucker for montages. I'm a sucker for the New Mexico desert. As you could tell, my love of 4 days out.
Yes.
I think this episode is great. It has pretty much everything you could really want. It definitely is more reminiscent of a Breaking Bad episode than what you would come to expect from Better Call Saul, but it definitely still stands on its own as a Better Call Saul episode. You get the best of a lot of characters.
Yeah.
You get Mike and Jimmy, which is always a wonderful dynamic. I adore seeing Mike and Jimmy. Because
they're not together that much throughout the show.
Which is surprising because you think that they would be, considering that Jimmy is Mike's connection in Breaking Bad. But
yeah.
I adore it. I absolutely love watching the scene where Mike tells Jimmy why he keeps going is incredible too. There's a lot of just wonderful little moments in this episode. I love that they kept Jimmy's trauma from this. I love how they show it, his trauma from this, with the smoothie maker. I love how they choose to show how characters feel their trauma very, very visually.
Yeah.
They don't really shove it in your face with, like, flashback sequences. Cough, cough. I'm looking at you, certain shows.
But speaking of flashbacks, I will not to get ahead of ourselves, the flashback to this episode in Saul Gone is amazing and retroactively makes it better.
Oh my god.
And also hair and makeup did so good on this.
Oh my gosh.
Like
yeah.
the cracked lips and everything, just how like tan they get. I love it.
Oh my, and the scene in the bathtub where Kim is taking care of Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's just I adore Kim and Jimmy's relationship. Yeah. That's not much I can say about the show about this episode.
I said it already.
You already said it already.
Sorry. my number four. Season 4 finale. Winner.
The winner takes it all.
Yeah. One of the best cold opens easily of really what feels like the last time that Chuck and Jimmy are like have a nice, good brotherly relationship
and
together.
Even then, Chuck is still Chuck.
Yeah.
So
he
good.
Is.
I love this episode.
He like takes over singing for him because he's just better.
The winner takes it all.
Chuck and Jimmy singing ABBA after Jimmy's bar admission is so fun and nice and bittersweet given where this is in the series, because it's a season after Chuck dies. The surprise of seeing them together again is so heartwarming. Several things stick out in this episode. You have what's essentially a race between Mike and Lalo to track down Werner Ziegler.
Werner Ziegler.
What Mike does with the gum when they're getting out of like the parking lot.
Bro.
Genius.
What What the flip?
4,000 IQ move. The moment of Lalo on the phone when he realizes it's Mike and he just puts it together and it's like this.
Michael. It's so good.
Because this is right after Lalo gets introduced to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is the first time you're fully seeing him in action where he becomes as big of a threat as we know him to be. Yeah, when he's in the ceiling and then jumps down and kills the clerk.
He's awesome. I love this guy. Werner Ziegler.
He's so fun, just the way he uses his agility and just physical strength in such entertaining ways. Mike ultimately does have to kill Werner in the desert, which
that
is...
That scene made me cry like a baby.
Made me cry, too. The extreme wide shot of him doing it is one of my favorite shots in the entire show.
The stars are beautiful.
Yeah, one of Mike's defining moments.
And oh my God, the way that Werner does it, where he's like, I'm going to take a walk.
And doesn't he have to, like, call his wife and, like, convince her to go back home so that she doesn't wind up dead, too?
And he yells like, at her knows on the he's, phone.
He knows he's never going to see her again, but he yells at her because he just needs her to stay safe.
It's quite reminiscent of Walt.
It is, yeah.
Skyler.
Yeah. A lot of great Kim and Jimmy stuff, too, in this episode. You have them orchestrating, like, demonstrations of Jimmy grieving Chuck so that he is more likely to get... reinstated.
They're horrible. I love this show.
Yeah, this is the episode where Jimmy's on the panel for the scholarship and like goes up to bat for, I think Christy is her name.
Yeah.
And like then talks with her after and is like telling her, winner takes it all. You have to do everything you can to succeed at all costs. Because he really sees himself in her.
Yeah.
And is heartbroken when like she doesn't wind up getting it. And then the bar appeal when Jimmy does get reinstated after giving this just insanely emotional speech about feeling good enough to practice under the McGill name and to earn it. And then immediately after he's reinstated, like reveals it was all insincere. And Kim's like, wait, Jimmy, what are you doing?
It's all good, man.
One of the best season endings I've ever seen in any show.
And I quite enjoy how they take that moment of a character being in shock while another one is cruising along, and they do it again in the next season.
Yeah.
But they flip their roles.
They
do. Great.
What's your number three?
All right, number three.
We're really getting down into it.
Number three, this is a pick that is very controversial.
Okay.
And you probably do not have it anywhere on your list.
Really?
Season 4, episode 8, Koshada.
This.
That episode is, like, one of my favorite. It's just, oh my. You get a classic, really hilarious scheme of them trying to intimidate.
It's the Huel scheme.
It is the Huel scheme.
Yes.
Where Jimmy puts on his Creole accent. And it's so funny. Especially if you know where Koshada is.
Yeah.
it's, oh my God. It's just such a great episode. I love watching their schemes. And I loved watching them do everything they could, essentially, to manipulate how the trial was going to go.
Yeah.
It was genius. It was hilarious.
With,
I had a great
with
time.
All the phones, like, laid out on the table.
All the phones, and then all the letters that they sent. And it's just the fact that they fabricated an entire church with a website and everything. Hilarious. I love this episode. I had a great time watching it. Love it.
Yes.
A lot.
And this is when they go to the strip club, when the meth lab boys go to the strip club. And it's when Lalo's introduced.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so much.
There's so much about this episode that's
I
great.
Never think about this one. It just gets lost in the shuffle, but it is just a really, really solid season 4 episode.
It's awesome sauce.
Yeah. My number 3.
Here we go.
Which is maybe controversial a little bit.
Oh?
Just because I know this is a lot of people's number 1.
Oh, don't tell me it is, but what? Say it.
It's Plan and Execution.
Wow, I knew it. I knew
season
it.
Season 6, episode 7 is such a perfect episode of this show. The extended cold open of Lalo hiding under Albuquerque, monitoring the laundromat, going out and like doing stuff.
He's awesome.
It's such a fun cold open because you don't see him again until that ending. And so you are kind of able to forget about it, but there's always a little bit lurking in the background of why were we shown that? How does that play in here? Where is he? What is he going to do? I was on edge the whole time watching it, just thinking like, this is halfway through season 6. And obviously I watched them after it had come out. And so I did have the whole season, but I knew this was where the mid-season break was. So it was like, what crazy stuff's going to happen? This is like the pinnacle of the Howard scheme, mm-hmm. definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like racing with the film crew to recreate the photo because the guy awesome. Has like he's in a cast now, so they have to completely redo the photos. The very brief reveal that Howard's PI was working for them the whole time
was so good.
He just drives by in the car and drives off, and it's like, wait, that was Howard's private investigator. What? The scene with Howard just going nuts after he sees the photos have been switched. And, of course, he seems so paranoid. It is a perfect scheme because he looks exactly how they want him to look. Just digs himself the biggest hole, destroys his reputation.
And Kim and Jimmy make love to it.
They do. And then the whole, like, what is it, 10 minutes or so, that whole final scene, again, anytime an episode has a final sequence in Kim and Jimmy's apartment, you know stuff's going to go down. Not even the Lalo scene right at the end, but when Howard just comes in and confronts them because he's put together everything they're doing. I keep saying it. One of my favorite scenes
it's
in the
great.
Entire series. Patrick Fabian's performance peaks here.
So good.
The dialogue is so, so good. How he feels hurt and betrayed, and he puts together, they just did it to screw with him just for the hell of it. And there was no real reason.
We learn a lot about him, too.
Yeah.
He talks about, you know, sleeping in a different house
yeah.
with his wife.
Yeah, I feel for Howard so much. And, this is – the Howard scheme is what is easily Jimmy's, like, worst thing that he does here.
Probably,
because
yeah.
he winds up getting him killed. And the way that they don't show remorse until everything plays out the way it does, like, when it is just him confronting them, they try and get him to turn away and go home. They're like, hey, you've had too much to drink. Let me call you a cab. And then the shot of the candle.
Oh
my God.
Guys,
this
show is so good.
This is the minute of this show that I go back and watch like every couple of weeks. It's just so chilling. And what makes it so much better is Kim knows that Lalo is still alive because Mike told her 4 episodes earlier. Jimmy has no idea. And so he's basically seeing a ghost when Lalo enters. And the shot of Lalo and Howard being in frame together, wildest crossover ever.
I know.
Two completely different shows thrown together. It looks like a fan edit. It looks like someone just, like, photoshopped Lalo into the room.
Because you're getting
they don't belong together.
You're getting two different characters from the two different sides of the show. You're getting the lawyer side and you're getting the cartel
yeah.
side. And they meet together in the most heartbreaking
and
way.
Just slowly Lalo taking out the gun, screwing on
oh
the little
God.
Silencer.
It's so cool.
Howard putting together what is actually going on here. Howard's death is shocking. Just one of the most insane moments that this crew has ever pulled off.
I watched the behind the scenes over
I did too,
and over
yeah.
again. It's so impressive.
And the cliffhanger of Lalo like shushing Jimmy and Kim after watching it and is like, let's talk. Oh my God.
It's an incredible episode. There's a lot of fun details too, which is why, Ethan,
yeah.
this was my number two pick.
This is your number two.
So I guess that means we could kind of skip that and I can hear your number two. But this episode's great. One of my favorite moments is when Lalo is in the sewers and he sees a cockroach. Skitter about.
Yeah.
And that's what reminds him to go to Jimmy and Kim's apartment.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because he calls Jimmy a cockroach and
yeah.
Bagman.
Nuts.
This episode is just wonderful.
Yeah. I'm sorry for taking it from you.
No, I don't mind at all.
I'm worried that I'm going to take your number one too, though.
I think you are.
Am I?
I think you are.
Do you want to do your number one just in case?
Okay.
Just so you can talk about it?
To cover my bases.
Okay.
My number one pick.
All right.
Which is a lot of people's number one pick, season 3, episode 5, Chicanery.
Which is my number two.
Guys, if there was ever an episode that just sealed the deal that this is one of the best shows on television, it would be Chicanery. There's a reason why this episode is the one that's memed on a lot. There's a reason why this is the one that everyone quotes all the time. The breakdown of Chuck, the incredible court sequences, the fact that it's all filmed in such a quiet, calm environment, but we still get the frantic, anxious, frenzied energy of Chuck. There's so much about this episode that I love that has been said by people much smarter than me.
Yeah.
But I was always a really big fan of the Chuck and Jimmy dynamic. I found the relationship to be very fascinating, especially as siblings. It makes, you know, a lot of sense. If you've had like very strained relationships with family members, their relationship is just perfectly acted, perfectly written. Watching Chuck lose everything in front of everyone he cares about, in front of Howard and Kim and his ex-wife, Rebecca, which was so cold. I cannot believe Jimmy. Jimmy, why did you do that? That was just cruel.
To throw him off his game.
Him off his game, and then he destroys his relationship with Rebecca once and for all in that final breakdown. I mean, watching Howard lose sight of everything, watching Howard, you could see the cogs in his head turning as he's like, oh my God. Yeah, there's seriously, everything you've watched before this episode is for this episode.
It is.
It's all the buildup, all the tension and hatred between the two siblings meets its head here, and it's incredible. I mean, guys, if there's one reason why you should watch Better Call Saul, it would be just so you can get to this episode. Genuinely, one of my favorites.
This chicanery?
This chicanery? He defecated through a sunroof. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so, I love this episode.
Yeah.
The subtle details, the way that Chuck's breakdown is filmed.
Yeah.
In one long take that just very, very, very slowly zooms in on him.
Getting, like, uncomfortably close.
Uncomfortably close. And Michael McKean is just acting his little heart out.
Yeah.
Great show. Please, everyone, you have to watch Better Call Saul.
Yeah. This is what really feels like the climax of the first half of the show.
Absolutely.
Because it's season one, episode 9, Pimento, when you have that amazing scene, one of the best scenes of the first season, of Chuck kind of admitting to Jimmy that he doesn't care about him, does not want him to be a lawyer.
Oh my gosh.
And from that point on, they are so firmly at odds with each other. And this is finally when that all concludes. My favorite screenplay, probably. Favorite script of the entire Breaking Bad universe.
It's very well written.
Just I'm a sucker for a good court drama. And this is it. By the way, first appearance of Huel in Better Call Saul. Let's go.
Let's go, Huel. He pickpockets.
Yeah. But yeah, Kim cross-examining Howard is amazing.
Oh my gosh, it's
when,
so good.
When he's like trying to explain Chuck's vendetta against Jimmy and is like, yeah, it's about nepotism. And she's like, oh, nepotism?
Oh, get him, Kim.
Hamlin McGill. And Jimmy's whole sequence cross-examining Chuck about his condition. Bob Odenkirk's acting on his face.
Beautiful.
He doesn't want to have to do it, but he knows he has to. And so this whole scheme to discredit Chuck works. And like the little pause he takes before asking him to reach into his pocket to pull out the battery, it hurts him.
I know. He
doesn't like stooping this low.
What makes it like even more sad is because of what Chuck said to Jimmy earlier.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care about him. And knowing that Jimmy...
I've never really cared
about you all that much. Which is
crazy thing to say to your brother.
Watching Jimmy, who clearly adores and admires and looks up to Chuck so much, just do the most dirty thing he has to do in order to stay alive is heartbreaking.
I am not crazy.
I know we swapped those numbers. 1216, one after the Magna Carta, as if I could ever make such a mistake. Never. It was Jimmy. He orchestrated it.
He gets to be a lawyer.
And he gets
a sick joke.
That billboard. You think a man just happens to fall like that? No, he orchestrated it. Jimmy! It's
perfect.
Heavily quoted.
Perfect television.
For a reason.
You can tell what the best moments are because they're the ones that are memed the most.
Yeah, Jimmy walking in with the purple suit. Lalo holding the camera.
Yeah.
Finger. I laid finger on him. Yeah, classic.
Yeah. All right, I'm happy that I let you take that one because that was my number two. It's so good.
It's hard to beat.
But now, my number one isn't on your list.
What?
This is heartbreaking.
What is your number
one? I thought for sure that you would put it there. My number one episode of Better Call Saul is the series finale.
Oh.
Saul Gone.
Oh, Saul Gone.
Saul
Classic.
Gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
My gosh. I should have put that on.
You should have put it somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love this
At
episode.
At least honorable mentions.
Oh, my gosh.
This is such a perfect series finale. This team knows how to do it. They did it with Felina, and they do it again here. Seeing all of the identities of this character clashing together to kind of, like, await what his ultimate fate is going to be, and it's so satisfying. Saul hires Bill Oakley to defend him, which is so funny.
So funny.
I love him coming back in.
He doesn't let him, like, do his job.
No, not at all. He's like, Your Honor, I'd like to withdraw from this case. No.
It's so funny.
Marie being brought back.
Marie. Oh, that was such a genius move by the producers.
I do like how Walt and Jesse are brought back in the Breaking Bad episode. And then, like, Jesse's conversation with Kim and Waterworks is amazing.
Good choice. I like that choice.
But this is definitely my favorite usage of a, like, strictly Breaking Bad character.
Marie and
brought
Hank
in
were
for
the best characters that they
yeah, took. Hank being brought back in season 5 was so
very
much fun,
very smart move.
Too.
Marie,
yeah.
though, was absolutely the best.
Because she is just so hurt by everything. Like, she's lashing out against Saul, but it's, like, it's a calm lashing out. Like, it's not emotional. And the way that Saul negotiates his sentence down from what initially starts out as life plus 190 years...
God.
Down to 7. And it's not
with
even...
with Bluebell ice cream.
Yes. He needs to be in a low minimum security place, and he needs his ice cream. And the way that he does it feels so vindictive, especially with Marie there. He's not even doing it on a technicality or anything like that. He is manipulating the emotions and is basically threatening to appeal to a jury the way he knows he can. By, like, playing a victim to Walt. Because that would have happened. Like, if that
Absolutely.
Is how it goes, it is a hung
jury. He would do
thing.
It.
Yeah. The way that he gets Kim to come to the sentencing because she thinks she's implicated in what's going to happen.
Gosh.
And he just wanted her to show up. And it's, I think, like, the first time in 6 years that they see each other.
Yeah.
And Jimmy confesses to being an accomplice in Walt's empire. Walter White couldn't have done it without me. Just such a satisfying conclusion to this arc. Completely clears his conscience. Finally admits his role in Chuck's suicide.
Yeah.
Which for a while he'd even denied it was a suicide.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And so the way that he says it is heartbreaking. Like when it cuts to the exit sign to call
ah!
back to the last shot of chicanery. Because he's still like there with him. It's beautiful. And Jimmy winds up getting sentenced to 86 years. And he's gonna make the most of it. You know, he's revered by all of his inmates.
Better
call Saul.
Yeah, it's oh my gosh.
I love how at first the one guy turns back and is like, "Yo, it's Saul Goodman," and he's like, "Nah, I don't know who that is."
And then when he when
and
he
then
sees everyone's like, Saul.
"Yeah," he's like, "Oh, I'll play into this. Yeah, sure."
Yeah, he has prison clout.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's awesome.
Yeah. The scene, the final Kim and Jimmy scene,
okay,
sharing the cigarette. Where it's, like, you see that little bit of orange at the end of the cigarette.
Bro.
And then their final look of him with the finger guns. Perfect. And then also, throughout the episode, the flashbacks. I love, they're such a great framing
Isn't
device.
Isn't there a Walt? And
yeah.
That one was
perfect.
The
initial flashback with Mike, final time we see Mike, is amazing. And it's, like, it shows how even then, before you have that conversation between Mike and Nacho's father, he completely regrets ever getting into this life and wishes he could go back and fix it. The Walt flashback, which doesn't add anything we didn't already know about him, but just, like, fully reaffirms how much of a narcissist he was. That it's like, you have one thing you can regret. Is it building a meth empire and destroying your family? No. Wishes he'd stayed with Gray Matter.
It's a great contrast to show, you know, the two main characters, Walt, who is entirely very narcissistic, and Jimmy, who, while he does have some narcissistic qualities, at the very end, he just regrets hurting the people he loves.
Yeah.
Compared to Gray Matter. Walt is so funny in that sequence, where he's, like, obsessively trying to fix something. What was it? Was it, like, a sound or something?
I think so, yeah.
Trying to obsessively fix something while Jimmy's just sitting there, like...
Yeah, and then the last one with Chuck, where it is a very rare moment of Chuck reaching out and extending a hand to Jimmy, not the other way around, and he doesn't take it. And then, like, it pans to the time machine by H.G. Wells, like, on the counter. And I've looked at behind-the-scenes stuff, and it sounds like they wanted this to almost play like a Christmas carol, where it's him being visited by, like, the three, like, ghosts of his past, mm-hmm. in a way. And it is so beautiful how it ties it all together, because it's regrets. And Jimmy's relationship with Chuck is the thing that he regrets and wishes that he could go back and mend that so things didn't turn out the way they did.
It's so sad.
But even with that, it still is a very optimistic ending, I think, for the series.
I have to agree. I think that the show ended very bittersweet. I saw an edit where someone put the instrumental of Something Stupid over the end, and I was like, thank God they didn't do that.
Yeah.
I like the silence it ends with.
Yeah.
It's all gone. I can't believe I didn't put it on
my top five. What's wrong with
as
you?
As you're speaking, I'm remembering just how compelling this was for me. How much I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Bill Oakley.
Yeah.
I adored Jimmy and Chuck scene. I just, again, one of the biggest driving points of the entire show was their relationship. And it's just so heartbreaking to see once again, you know, do you think Chuck really doesn't care about Jimmy? It's such an interesting little moment that spawns so many questions in my mind.
That dynamic is so fascinating. And also, the black and white photography.
Oh my gosh.
Anytime they do it.
This show is beautiful.
It's so great. And I love, like, the jean scenes at the beginning of each season are great. I don't know what it is that they're doing that's, like, different from traditional black and white photography, but it looks really cold.
Yeah.
Heavy shadows everywhere. Yeah, and there's so many episodes we didn't talk about. The season 5 finale.
This show,
Lalo crawling under the tunnels, escaping.
This show just has so many awesome, consistently good episodes that I would genuinely recommend this to anyone. I mean,
Jimmy's freak out on Howard at the end of JMM.
JMM is an awesome
episode. Lightning bolts shoot from my fingertips.
Another really memed on moment.
Yeah.
If there was just, I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to wrestle some feathers.
Oh?
Better Call Saul, better than Succession, better than The White Lotus.
Definitely better than The White Lotus.
It's not really that hard to clear.
No.
Better than Succession, better than White Lotus, and better than Game of Thrones.
Better
than Ozark, too.
A lot of shows that you've just named I haven't seen or I haven't seen in their entirety, but I wouldn't put it that high for me, but it is definitively in my top five favorite shows of all time. And I really, talking about it, I want to go back and rewatch it. I don't have the time for it, but I really want to. It's so different from Breaking Bad. That's what I love about it, its own thing.
They did not try to make it Breaking Bad Part 2, which is why a lot of fans did not like it at the start. They didn't like that it wasn't Breaking Bad Part 2 with Slip and Jimmy.
Yeah, but I think it makes it much easier to see why there are so many people that like it more than Breaking Bad. Is it satisfies an urge for some people that Breaking Bad doesn't? Not for me, but that is our Better Call Saul list. Thank you all for listening. Beth, thanks for being here again. This has been Pop Off. We'll see you all next time. Beth, we won't see you. You won't be here, but it was great having you.
Thank you for having me, Ethan Kaufman of Pop Off.
Thank you, Beth Taylor, for being here on Pop Off.
Bye, fans. Please go watch Better Call Saul.
I'm
genuinely begging you, please. He's going to cut me off soon. I'm so serious.
Bye.
Please go watch Better Call Saul.
Bye, bye.
Bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye